presented by the American Petroleum Institute.
Hey, good morning. I am Playbook co-author Eugene Daniels, and there is only one thing people in Washington and around the world are talking about today, and that's last night's presidential debate in Atlanta. Here to chat it up with me about what we saw are my fellow Playbook co-authors, Rachel Bade, and from Atlanta, Ryan Lizza. Y'all, how you doing? What a night.
What a shit.
What a shits. What a choice. Ryan, give us one word, as we just did.
I don't think you could sum up that debate in one word. One word doesn't do it justice, unless train wreck is one word. Just in terms of being in Atlanta and what maybe I saw that you couldn't see elsewhere is one big thing, which is the spin room afterwards, is the Biden surrogates when they came out all together, massive crush around them, much more than any of the Trump surrogates earlier. Governor Gavin Newsom of California kind of leading things. And they didn't really argue with the fact that Biden, on style, did a great job. They were basically just saying, policy-wise, he would be better than Trump, which, of course, I think misses a lot of the point of what went wrong. I did actually ask Newsom if he would consider, since this is now in the air, the Democratic nomination at an open convention in Chicago, and he sort of brushed off that question, and then T.J. Ducklow hurried everyone off the floor. They didn't stay
I bet they
long.
Didn't. I mean, this is the thing, you guys. This is the thing that's kind of driving me a little insane a bit. Biden and team asked for this. They made this bet themselves. They made a bet that they should do an early debate because that would help focus the American people on the choice that they have in November. Now, Rachel, I am going to read to you how well other Democrats feel like that went. One prominent operative texted, "Time for an open convention." One former White House aide and campaign aide called it terrible, adding that they had to ask themselves over and over, "What did he just say? This is crazy." Another veteran Democratic operative texted, "Biden seems to have needed a few minutes to warm up. I wonder if the lack of an audience was the right decision, and poor guy needs a tea, maybe a whiskey."
Yeah, I mean, look, I understand that the defense right now on the behalf of, the Biden surrogates, and Kamala Harris was on talking about how when it comes to substance, Biden is better. But the Biden we saw could not articulate any of the strong policy positions that could have hit back on Trump. He was so incoherent on basically everything. You just couldn't follow half the debate. How is he going to make this case to the American people on abortion, on January 6th, on protecting democracy, when he can't even put a sentence together? Like, it felt like a totally different president from just a few months ago. Like, he had aged a decade. And I mean, Biden missed so many opportunities. And I got to tell you, like, the question I have after the debate is, how did we not know how this decline had been happening? How did we not know this? Like, I know that the Biden people have been keeping him in a bubble, right? He doesn't do too many interviews. The State of the Union was obviously scripted. But I guess I was just so shocked that, like, at some I, like, couldn't even, like, focus on the words. I just was so shocked by the performance. And I think a lot of Americans are going to feel like that if they tuned in.
He at one point said, "We finally beat Medicare."
Well, that
right?
was
and
the
so
beginning
it wasn't
that was,
just that he was kind of the beginning of the problems, right, Ryan?
That was what set off everyone's phones.
Yeah,
just
that's
buzzing.
What became clear.
And heart attacks across the country from Democrats. I mean, frankly, Trump did not go in for the jugular as much as he could have, given how poor Biden was doing. He had a couple of lines about Biden not being super coherent, but I thought he could have actually done quite a bit more with that. But I agree with Rachel. On Biden's strongest issues, he could not parry. He could not make a counterattack that was effective, whether it was abortion, January 6th. As we were all pointing out in our chat, he weirdly raised immigration in a way that helped Trump. And this is after an entire week being hunkered down in Camp David practicing. That's a lot. Previous presidents, taking a week off and practicing for a debate is pretty serious. Most incumbent presidents famously have terrible first debates. But these guys knew that. They went in with the with telling everyone, we know the first debate curse. We're going to make sure he's in tip-top shape, or we're going to Camp David.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that we should say that the Biden campaign aides and allies are saying that Biden is sick, right? That is the thing that they're telling us. The vice president said
come
it.
On.
But this is the thing. This is the thing. What I have been told is that people who saw him earlier thought he looked strong, thought he looked engaged with the crowds before he went in the hotel, and that the problem wasn't him being sick, right? That's clearly the spin, but that he's always surrounded himself with the same people and they refuse to change the playbook, and that it's like the practice wasn't where it needed to be. And so he wasn't prepared for it at all. And I mean, like, we could talk about Biden's performance all night, but we have to talk about what we thought about, you know, former President Donald Trump. So, like, it seemed to me that even Trump wasn't prepared for how bad Biden was, right? There are times during the debate where he was like, oh, I didn't know what the hell he said. He don't know what the hell he said. No one knows what the hell he said.
Yeah, it seemed to take Trump, I think it was like, what, 20 minutes to call out Biden for saying something that was, you know, not coherent. And it definitely seemed like he was surprised at first. And I actually think that benefited Trump. He wasn't super aggressive. I mean, toward the end, he did get more aggressive. And obviously, that could blow back on him there. But look, I realize, you know, Trump lied all the time throughout this
whole
debate.
He wouldn't answer whether or not he would accept
Biden
an election.
Wouldn't answer. Yes, exactly. Dodged that question, like three times? Said a bunch of false things about January 6th and, you know, what the Supreme Court has done on abortion pills, et cetera. But unless somebody is going to, you know, fact check that and counter it and throw that, you know, counter punch, it doesn't matter. And so now that this is over, clearly the Trump people feel good, and they should feel good. I feel like Democrats right now, they have, you know, they're going to have to make this decision, right? Are they going to stay loyal to Biden and sort of fall in line here? Or do they want to win in November? Because right now, those two things seem to be very much on a collision course. I mean, it's just, it's really hard to see Biden coming back from this.
Ryan, you've had some folks texting you that there are lists being made, that people are making lists of the alternatives to President Biden. I'm here in the office, and folks are being texted that senior kind of Democratic officials, who you would kind of think of as folks who might have run if Biden wouldn't have, they're workers, the people that work for them, are getting bombarded, was the word that was used, with messages over and over and over again. Basically, like, is your boss up for it? It seems pretty impossible, Ryan, at this point. People are talking about a brokered convention, but this is in the fog of war. What are you hearing? What is actually possible here?
I mean, like everyone else, I've got every meme of a train wreck and of a panic and, you know, every Democratic operative saying the same thing that all of us saw, that it was a disaster for Biden. That was almost universal within the Democratic Party. There were only two responses I got: either total disaster or silence. And the silence mostly came from people inside the White House and inside the Biden campaign, which is also telling. People not even trying to mount a defense, and we can get into that in a second, talk about Kamala Harris's semi-defense on cable last night. But I think the question is, what happens now? There's already been a little bit of a backlash, and you already see people texting some kind of pushback via top Biden people, trying to shut down some of these conversations and saying, oh, Democrats always panic and wet the bed when anything bad happens. And so maybe there'll be a little bit of a readjustment. But I think now the race is on for prominent elected officials to go on the record with these concerns. Because as we sit here, I haven't seen a single important elected official voice all the stuff that we're getting anonymously.
Rachel, right after the mess of a debate, Biden went to a watch party in Atlanta and sounded like a completely different person. And I mean, I was watching it and I was like, I do not understand what I am watching and what I watched earlier. So is there a world in which you know, it is June. He did do a shitty job. And so by the time we get to September, by the time we get to August when they have the their convention, the Democrats would have already, like, chilled out because he will do the thing that he does sometimes when he's in front of a crowd and kind of is hyped up. Or is this something that stays?
Man, I don't know, Eugene. I just feel like people are going to see these clips. The Trump campaign is going to, you know, pump these out on social media. It's going to be hard for people to forget this. I mean, if it really was a fluke and a bad night, we're going to have to see the old Joe Biden again. And I don't mean old as in age. I mean the old as in State of the Union. Joe Biden.
yeah, we're definitely going to see the old Biden up for sure.
Who knows, Eugene? I do think it's interesting. So Kate Bedingfield was on CNN basically imploring people to calm down, saying that it was just the Washington elites who had their panties in a bunch and that they needed to wait to have a real conversation about whether they needed to approach Biden about stepping aside until they see the polling. It seemed clear to me, obviously she's probably in touch with people at the White House, if this is what they're going to tell other Democrats, it's like, just wait, hold on a second, let's just see if it affects the polling. And then say it does affect the polling in a couple of weeks, by that time, the moment perhaps is gone and Democrats are too afraid to come out. So I don't know. I don't know how Biden comes back from this. It just seems really, really difficult.
That is their best argument, and one you're hearing already, which is incumbent presidents always blow the first debate. You know, he gets a mulligan and there'll be another one. The problem, of course, is the second debate is after the convention. And so they've got until the convention to pull a switcheroo here. And look, that's something that's never happened. We haven't had an open convention since, you know, the 68, basically, right? He's not going to step aside. A lot of the Democrats who are important to him, like Nancy Pelosi and Jim Clyburn and Schumer, I don't know, do we really see any of them breaking the glass and going to him and broaching this? Probably not. So I think the chances are low, but I think if some brave elected officials start talking about it publicly, you don't know where that conversation could go.
And we're going to have to leave it there. And a reminder, folks, the Biden folks chose this. They chose June. They chose to do it before he was the actual nominee. If the debates had happened after the conventions like they usually do, the conversation would go nowhere. So for your schedule today, other than Democrats running around terrified, the House is in and the Senate is out. President Biden and First Lady Jill Biden are going to hold a campaign rally at noon Eastern in North Carolina with, never thought I'd say this, rappers E-40 and Fat Joe. Trump is going to hold a campaign rally at 3 p.m. in Virginia. The music in today's show was composed by the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. Callan Tansel-Suddeth is our podcast producer. Andy Rees is our managing producer. Mike DeBonis and Zach Stanton are our editors. For Rachel Bade and Ryan Lizza, I'm Eugene Daniels. Thanks for listening.
For nearly 4 years, the American people have faced the pain of high inflation and global conflict. Now, more than ever, it's time to end political gamesmanship and implement policies that help benefit Americans. Let's work together on solutions that help address the consequences of inflation and secure our energy future. Visit lightsonenergy.com/energyleadership to learn more.